and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. And Tim will introduce our speaker tonight.
Thank you, Michelle. And that other Michelle's out there, she not only is at the Serenity House in Beaufort, she got her sobriety in these neck of the woods. Primarily, she's going to tell you, Tucker, and she's going to tell you some things about it. She's going to tell you about Biscayne Room. And every time I hear her share, I've heard her tell her story a couple of times, and it is vivid. It's real recovery. I'm not going to go on and on. I just want everybody to give Michelle the nicest round of applause you can. Please welcome Michelle.
Hey, good evening. I'm Michelle Beck, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, guys. Good coffee, by the way. Most important job in Alcoholics Anonymous, making the coffee. I've been to some meetings where they didn't have coffee. I've not been back. You know, and then, of course, I had cup of resentment. I had to call my sponsor. You know? So, anyway, thank you again for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. This month has been a month of sobriety and a month of miracles for me. My sobriety date is November 17th, 1986. I celebrated 27 years this past November. We're doing something that I can't do, and that's don't drink, go to meetings, you know? As you can tell, I'm not from the South. I still can't say y'all, but y'all do. I like the Southern way of life. This place holds a special meaning. I sat here in the old timers meeting, and I've been to that. It's the first Sunday in November for several years, having breakfast. My best friend and I used to have breakfast every morning downstairs, a little bit of fellowship and coffee, and then come back for dinner with George and Marge Montgomery. They've passed on to glory. For those who don't know, passed on to glory means that they passed away, but they passed away sober. That was my mom and dad. I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, Polish Catholic. I can pretty much stop there. If you know anything about Catholics, we drink. I mean, we drink. We drink twice on Sunday, too. I was raised on the right side of the tracks. I knew the difference between right or wrong. I'm one of five kids, and alcoholism runs rapid through our family. On my father's side, the family joke is either you're in some 12-step program or you're still in your active addiction. And I have a cousin that's in OA, and I have several relatives in our sister fellowship, Al-Anon. Let me tell you, those gutsy women over there in Al-Anon. I love our sister fellowship in Al-Anon. Anyway, I didn't decide to be an alcoholic. I never crossed a line. I was born this way. I was looking for that answer long before I take that drink. I was born and raised in old-fashioned AA. Born at Clarkston 12-step group, and I hung out at Biscayne on the weekends. So, just to let you know, when I fell through the doors, they didn't ask me for my opinion. The women over at Clarkston surrounded themselves. And there was no multiple choice. But we'll get to that. I remember my first drink, and I remember the way it felt. It just went over my mouth, and it reached in, and it scratched that itch. It made everything perfect. It made me 10 foot tall and bulletproof. It was the answer to all everything. I never changed drinks. I never drank out of a glass. I always thought that was classy, drink out of a glass. I just drank. I don't know if I chased that first drink. I never kept count. I know I've been sober a lot longer than what I drank. I was existing before. I'm living now. I laugh at earth people when they say, wow, I had a good time last night. I don't remember. I'm missing a decade. You know, one of those, you know, if you're an alcoholic like me, you miss a decade. I don't remember what happened. I know I graduated from high school. I have the diploma. I failed 15 classes in high school. I took home ec a lot. I went to school in the 80s when they just kind of passed you along. I went to my class reunion a couple years back. I wanted to meet the people who I went to high school with. I've never met them. I was busy drinking, you know, in the parking lot and doing other things. I have great respect for Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a fellowship that is saving my life. So if I mention other things, please forgive me. I don't mean to be disrespectful for this fellowship. I do have one primary purpose, and I know what our third tradition says. I don't know what happened. A series of strange events, I ended up in the streets of Atlanta. I don't remember. I remember it was cold, and then it was warm, and then it was cold. So I guess the seasons changed. Plaza Drugs off of East Ponce. I used to go in there and rake the shelves of Scope and go in the corner and drink them. And perfume. There's nothing pretty about my alcoholism. It was cruel, it was mean, and it was ugly. It was just me. There never seemed to be enough. I had this big, huge hole in my soul, and there was never enough. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how much I drank. There was never enough. And I drank. I take a bottle, you take off the top, and you throw away the top. And you drink. I never understood the putting the top back on the bottle. That's beyond my comprehension. I just don't understand that. I used to drink some Boone's Farm wine, a couple bottles of Strawberry Hill, and Mad Dog 2020. That thing will put. I still have fur on the inside of my stomach from that stuff, you know. But I also drank perfume and vanilla extract. For those of you who don't know, it has alcohol in it. I just wanted another drink. Somehow, some way, I ended up in my dealer's abandoned trailer, thinking it was better than living on the streets. And the paranoia started creeping in. I don't know what they were or who they were, but they were going to get me. And I would stay up all night and sleep during the day. I remember cockroaches crawling all over me, and I just kind of, whatever, you know. It didn't matter. All I needed was that next drink. And it didn't matter who I had to sleep with or what I had to do. I needed a drink. And I would go to any lengths to get it. I didn't know about moral standards or principles. Didn't matter. So I discovered that if I took a shower, took a bath, kind of cleaned up in the sink, that I could go to the bars and pick up some strange, take it home, or take it back to their place, and when it passed out, just rip it off. You knew what you were bringing home. You knew. I'd pawn anything. With good right, my family didn't want anything to do with me. I would go into my father's liquor cabinet, which was half the kitchen, and just drink. And just take what I needed. Self-centeredness. I didn't even know I had alcoholism. I didn't know. You know, I'm sure most of you know alcoholism, disease that says that you don't have it. See, I'm Catholic. Good Catholic girl, you know? Good Catholic girl. You know, I know the difference between right or wrong. I can't be an alcoholic. An alcoholic is an old man living underneath the bridge. Okay, so I was a young, pathetic child living underneath the bridge, but I was an old man. You know, and I would panhandle. You see, the people on the streets will work for food. That was me. That's where my alcoholism took me. A while back, somebody called me a one white chip wonder. I don't know what that means. I guess my bottom was my bottom. And I come to find out that I'm not unique. There's a lot of us that started in negative numbers. And it takes us a while to get to zero. But once we get to zero, we start growing. And that's me. I fell through the doors at a treatment center out in Buford. It's Buford Treatment Center. I'm one of those that I needed medical attention. I weigh about 155, 160 now. I weighed 112 pounds. You know, the raccoon eyes sunk in, shaken, and I needed medical attention. It says in our big book that we should cooperate with people from the medical community. I don't remember treatment. It was a 28-day program. They kept me 37 days because they loved me. No, I detoxed, and I can remember walking along the walls, holding the walls up, you know, and just shaking all the time. I thought I was going to just come unglued. I thought my skin was going to fall off my bones. I don't remember picking up my white chip. Don't remember 30 days. But from what I understand, the Buford Treatment Center changed to Gwinnett County Treatment Center, and then they closed down. Right around my birthday, I go out there. It's a field now. They destroyed the building. But I like to go back home and see where I came from. Went into a halfway house because there's no place else for me to go. And then the director told me about this place called Clarkston 12-Step Group, and that I really needed to go over there for the Wednesday night women's meeting. It's one of the oldest women's meeting in the metro Atlanta area. Gay G and Justine and Barbara A. Started that meeting. And I remember walking in, and back then it was, who needs a sponsor? Raise your hand. And I was stupid enough to raise my hand. You know, because I didn't have one. I didn't know what one was. I knew a lot about dying before God rendered me sober. And what that means is I didn't say, you know, I'm going to stop drinking today. I'm going to go to AA. And we're going to work these steps, and I'm going to be happy, joyous, and free. I would just kind of fell through the doors, you know. If you're not dead or in jail, you just kind of fall through the doors. So I raised my hand, and after the meeting, you know, these five women were back there in the corner. They were going to decide who was going to be privileged enough to be my sponsor. You know, it's a very honor. I was fatally hip and terminally cool. You know, I was 22 years old. See, I can't be an alcoholic. Wait a minute. I started drinking when I was 7. Yeah, I can be. And this woman came up and said, here's my this is before cell phones. Okay? Before pagers and stuff like that. And she said, I'm going to be your sponsor. Call me tonight. And she handed me your phone number. I'm like, man, okay. So Laura Aura told me to call her tonight. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to be busy tonight. Like I really had plans. You know? And she kind of laughed at me. And she turned around and she started walking off. And she came back around. She said, you think I asked you to do something, didn't you? Said, yeah. She said, no, you're going to call me tonight. She scared the living bejesus out of me. So I called her. You know? And I called her and she said, okay, do you have a big book? Nope. Okay, you have 2 brain cells left. Don't drink, go to meetings. So that's what I did. I had 2 brain cells left. Don't drink, go to meetings. That's about all I could deal. I don't understand going through the steps in 30 days and 12 steps and 30 days or whatever it is. I need to understand these steps. Okay, I'm powerless over what? I'm fatally hip and terminally cool. I started on the steps with my sponsor, and she took me through the steps, and I went to a lot of meetings. My first 90 days I went to over 300, not because I was so happy, joyous, and free. I was scared to death. I thought, left alone by myself, I'll surely drink or blow my brains out or both. So I just kind of hit out in AA. My sponsor said it was okay, so it must be okay. So I just hung out over at Clarkston, and on the weekends I hung out at the Biscayne Room, you know, and I cleaned toilets. Laura T., she's passed on to glory recently, taught me about spirituality. I would go over to my home group, Clarkston, Saturday mornings, and we would clean the bathrooms, and we would clean Clarkston, and we'd vacuum and stuff like that, and I was cleaning the toilets, and she said, well, while you're down there, let's talk to God. You've been there before. And she's right, I've been there before, oh God, you know. And so she taught me about God, cleaning toilets. And that's my first concept of God. She says, okay, obviously you want God to keep you clean and sober today. Yeah, that's all you got to do. And you got to thank Him at night and go to AA meetings in between. Okay, I got that. And that's what I did. And then Justine, love Justine. She scared me for the first 3 years of my sobriety. She never asked me to do anything. See, I came through old-fashioned AA. There's a multiple choice. Excuse me, would you mind making the coffee tonight? or could you clean, if you wouldn't mind, could you read how it works? They just said, you're going to read how it works. You're going to make the coffee. Justine told me that I had to be there at 7 o'clock to make the coffee. Because if I didn't, we couldn't have a meeting at 8 o'clock. And that was very, very important. I had to be there at 7 o'clock. And I was just sick enough to believe her, you know. But I had to believe these women. I had to believe. They would tell me that when I would make the coffee, it was free sobriety. They guaranteed me, while I was making the coffee, I wouldn't drink. And they were right. Because I did. And Laura T. told me that while I was cleaning Clarkson, I could get to know God better. And that's what I did. I went to meetings and made the coffee. I'm so grateful that my sponsor and the women over there, my sponsor had, if you have a sponsor like me, my first sponsor had friends, you know. And I made the mistake one time of talking while How It Works is being read. And I sat in the back row. Well, kind of, sort of, in the back row. And this other woman, she's since passed on to glory, Elizabeth, hit me in the head with a big book. She wasn't really concerned about my inner child, and she wasn't really concerned about my boundary issues. And I think I was like 90 days or something like that sober, and I was going to stand up and show her what for, you know. And I stood up, and she, that little old lady, pointed her finger at me and said, "You will give respect to How It Works when it's being read. Don't move. Don't talk. Listen." Okay. I sat back down. I intuitively knew to sit back down, you know. And my sponsor wasn't in the room, and I got home that night, and my sponsor called me and said, "What's this about you talking while How It Works is being read?" I'm like, "Who told you? Doesn't matter. So I knew to be quiet, you know. And we had this thing at Clarkston that if your cell phone goes off during the meeting, well, that's not very spiritual. For 1 hour, I can turn off my cell phone. For 1 hour. I don't put mine on vibrate. I usually keep it in the car, you know. For 1 hour, this is my hour, you know. I can sit here and not play with my cell phone. I think it's rude. And if you're sitting around me during meetings, I'll let you know. I've even had people texting, sitting next to me. Beep, 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 beep. Excuse me, you're interfering with my sobriety. Turn it off. Or just leave the meeting. I picked up a white chip. This is my white chip. You're not going to interfere with my sobriety. You know? And I was told to sit down. And I got up during the reading, so I learned about AA etiquette. And that's, don't move while the readings are going on. Don't get up. And I would drink like coffee. I never drank coffee. If you're an alcoholic like me, even with the one eyes, before I lost my license, even with the one eyes driving down the road, I never drank coffee. When God rendered me sober, God, I would drink it by the potful. Just, you know. But my sponsor caught me one time getting up while the chips were being held, passed out. And everybody clapped because they thought I was giving out a chip. It was very embarrassing. She told me that if I drank two cups, that it was okay for me to get two styrofoam cups and sit down with two styrofoam cups and to sit here for an hour. For 1 hour, sit here and listen. And they were right. About 6 months of sobriety, my sponsor figured out I couldn't read the big book. In junior high school and high school, I drank and did other things. I didn't have time for school. I just didn't have time. It interfered with my dealings. And so the women at Clarkston would read me the big book, the first 164 pages, piecemeal at a time, a couple paragraphs at a time. I never read the stories. And then they found me a tutor, and she read me the big book, and she taught me how to read. My sponsor told me, don't worry about the 12 and 12. You'll get that at your first year birthday. Just, you know, read the big book. So I would read the big book. And back then we had, it's called cassette tapes. We had cassette tapes, and you had to flip them over, you know, and that's how I learned the big book, you know. I'm showing my age. We also had 8-track tapes, but that's beside the point. But I learned real quick and in a hurry to memorize how it works, the 12 traditions and the promises, because I was not supposed to say no. If they asked me to read, you're supposed to say yes. So I memorized them. And it's okay. My first year of sobriety, for those of you under a year, I have drank some of the some interesting alcohol. I've had moonshine, had a little bit of shine, Magdog 2020, and I've done some of the greatest drugs. But standing behind this podium with 1 year, that chip in my hand, is the best feeling I've ever had. I can't explain it. You'd have to wait for it. Wait for the miracle. I couldn't talk. I was just, oh my God, you know? And I just was crying like a baby. You know, we get sober and we become wimps. That's what my current sponsor and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, that we become wimps. But, and when I got down to the four step with my sponsor, it's about a year and a half. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. You know, I had to understand what does powerlessness mean. Came to believe what? You know, I didn't know God. I mean, come on, living out on the streets, there wasn't much time to hit your knees other than, God, please get me out of this mess. Or if you stop the car, I can jump out now. Please, God, help me. That's the kind of God that I had. When I went to the four step, I've always done it out of the big book. I mean, nothing against Hazleton, but I did that and it just confused me, you know? Question 72 was, are you afraid of red-headed women? Should I be? I don't know. You know, and talking about inner child stuff, and I don't know. I try not to complicate. I can't do that. So I didn't know anything about the four steps. Just like I knew a lot about dying, I didn't know anything about the steps. So I went over to my sponsor's house, and she got out a piece of paper, a couple sheets of paper and a pen, and she said, okay, who you pissed at? And she wrote it down. She said, what'd they do to you? Oh, I like this four step. Yeah, I like it. This is what they did to me. I like that. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, Bill Wilson, I mean, takes Mr. Brown's inventory in the big book, okay? And from what I understand, I take their inventory and I take mine. I only benefit from mine. Now, when I take the four-step, and I continue to work these steps, I just don't like to do a four-step and that's it, okay? It's like, this is the way I live my life, practicing, you know, not getting it right the first time, but practicing. I like the four-step because it gives me an opportunity to look back every nook, every cranny. Cause and condition. You know, if I'm not feeling right on the inside, then it's time for a four-step. You know? And I still ask. I've only had three sponsors. My second sponsor was Janice M. And my sponsor now is Judy P. She lives up in Ellijay. And I heard her talk when I had 6 months of sobriety because my sponsor, she used to drag me to these speaker meetings. I don't care about other people. It's all about me, you know? It's all about me. Okay, enough about me. What do you think about me? And the crisis. And I heard this woman talk when I had 6 months of sobriety. The only reason why I remember is because I had to pick up Yellow Chip. And she told my talk. She talked about being Polish. She talked about the violence. She told my story. She didn't clean it up. I thought, man, I'm not the only one. I thought I was the only one. I thought that I was too dirty for Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought that if few people really knew what I did and who I slept with and what I had to do to get that drink, excuse me, there's the door, please. We don't accept women like you here. You know, the fallen women and stuff like that. You know what it says in 12 and 12? I mean, that would eliminate most of the people in my home group if we still did that tradition, you know? Silent inmates, you know? My first four-step, my sponsor and I, she wrote it out, and then I read it to her. And she fell asleep about halfway through it. I guess I'm just not exciting. She said, yes, I did that, but I also did this too. Really? Oh, my God. Really? And then she explained sponsorship. Sponsorship is like this. You keep your mouth shut. You don't talk about your little pigeons in meetings. You keep your mouth shut. Really? If you have a problem with someone you sponsor, you come to me. It's the tree. It's that anonymity thing. They got to be able to go to you. Really? I didn't know about this. You know, I just thought that my sponsor was the best sponsor in the whole wide world, and whatever I told her, she'd keep her mouth shut. I guess that's the cardinal rule about sponsorship. That's just how we sponsor. I was about a year and a half sober, And Justine used to sit on this side, and Barbara A. used to sit on this side of me, and I had my two cups of coffee and I was ready for the meeting. And they were giving out the chips. And this woman pick up a white chip? And I was very confused. And they knew, you know, Barbara A. was, you know, patting me on like, it's okay, baby, just don't drink. And Justine would tell me to make the fucking coffee. I'm sorry. If you didn't cuss in the early days, I didn't understand what you were saying. She'd just, you know, and then she'd hand me an empty cup. And that meant I'd get up and I'd get her another cup of coffee. That's respect. This woman picked up white chip and I was very confused because she had like 7 years. And I was like, wow, really? We can drink again? Really? I didn't know that. She said, it's okay, baby, just don't drink. Justine smacks me on the back of the head and says, if you drink again, you're going to die. Okay. And I moved on, you know? I didn't pick up another white chip. It's just one of them things. I just needed the truth. Just like Joyce P. Used to walk me around Piedmont Park because I had a lot of energy. And these women would give me the truth. You know, at 6 months of sobriety, I didn't think I was an alcoholic because I was feeling good. You know? I still wasn't driving. I didn't drive for the first 4 years. The state of Georgia figured it would be best if I didn't. And I just, you know, it was never a DUI. I never got a DUI, by the way. It was points. I would see blue lights in my rearview mirror and I'd get nervous. And I'd leave. You know, and a court date, I would get kind of nervous or I wouldn't be able to, you know, appear in court, so I just wouldn't show up. It's okay, they'll forgive me later. And there's this thing called the bench warrants, as in plural, so I didn't know about that either. So a lot of wreckage of our past, you know, I didn't get here because I ate too much ice cream. Anyway, Joyce, you know, I would go to these women and they would tell me the truth because I needed to hear the truth. I didn't hear, well, you know, if you don't feel safe in a meeting, you know, and if your inner child isn't safe, then you need to find another home group, you know, get your cup of coffee, sit down, and shut up. Because I needed to hear that. I knew a lot about alcoholism. I knew nothing about sobriety. And I needed that. But at the same time, these women would pat me on the leg and go, it's okay, baby, just don't drink. You know, pop some more chocolate in your mouth. It'll be okay. When I had my hard times, you know, they surrounded themselves. I went to Joyce and I said, you know, I have 6 months of sobriety. I really don't think I'm an alcoholic. And I'm feeling pretty good. Now, Joyce is a little bit shorter. She's height impaired. She's a little bit shorter than I am, and she made me bend over, and she smacked me on the back of the head, and she said, yes, you're an alcoholic. Let's keep walking. I was like, okay. And we kept on walking, you know. I didn't know about, what do you guys call it nowadays? Slips. I guess that's what it's called. I don't know. It sounds pretty. Doesn't it? Relapse. Ooh, that's a pretty name. I was told that getting drunk again, that's what it's called. And that I'm not supposed to put a dress on it and make it look pretty. Now, 5 years of sobriety, I believe at 5 years, the ego returns. I became dangerous to newcomers because I knew just enough about this program to spread the love. And I sponsored everybody. And my and I'm going to sponsor you too. And I'm going to sponsor you too. And my sponsor sat me down and said, three. Three's enough. Really? Okay. And I, you know, I had a believer. At 6.5 years of sobriety, this has been going on for about, I want to say 8-9 months. I'd come into meetings at 8:05 and leave at 8:55. I'd call my sponsor when I knew she wasn't home. I can't remember the last time that I hit my knees and talked to God, communed with God. You know, I didn't even know where my shoes were, you know, before I used to throw them underneath my bed. You know, the trick. If you're having problems, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard this. If you're having problems, throw them underneath the bed. Let's throw your cell phone underneath the bed. Nowadays, you're really going to go for that. But I'd been on 12-step calls. This is what's going through my mind. The insanity of alcoholism. I was 6.5 years sober and this AA stuff isn't paying off. I was miserable. Couldn't live in my own skin. I'd been going to 12-step calls, you know, picking up drunks, having them throw up on me, sending them in AA meetings, you know, sponsoring women, doing 4 steps, all this kind of stuff that I need to do, that I must do in order to stay sober. But this AA stuff is not paying off. I'm miserable. I'm going to drink. I always thought, if I drink, I'm going to drink out of a glass. I always thought that was classy. You know, drink out of a glass, maybe an umbrella, maybe a straw, you know, one of those things. I went to a bar that night, and I ordered a drink. And you know that part of the big book where it says something about how God's going to come between you and that drink? I don't know what happened that night. I didn't drink that drink. Strange series of events. I ended up at my sponsor's house. It was like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was knocking on the door. Yeah, by this time I was driving. She didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Would you please come back when it's 9 to 5? You know, my hours are 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. I'm sorry, it's way too late. Could you come back tomorrow?" She opened up the door. She intuitively knew. She grabbed some paper and a pen, and she made a pot of coffee. And I abandoned myself to the fourth step. Now, I'd done some before. I've done an inventory before, but not like this. Standing here today, it still scares me how close I came. You know, and I did a fifth step, and the sun was coming up, and she said, "Okay, why don't you just kind of hang out here today? My house needs to be cleaned. Go ahead and clean my house." I'm like, "Really? Okay." You know, 6.5 years, so okay. You know, and she says, "I'll be back." She's going to go to work. She went to work and came back. Thank you, God, for that sponsor and her friends. At 10 years, I think that it was St. Michelle, double digits. I've arrived, you know. And the women over at Clarkston, they just kind of checked my ego every once in a while. And Justine was walking by me, and I said, "Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, I'll tell you how to work this program, 10 years, yeah." And she patted me on the head, and she said, "You know, baby, you're just so gosh darn cute. If you hang out here long enough, you just might get this shit." Wait a minute, I've been going to meetings, and I'm the one with the most time. She says, "You need to go to different meetings." She wasn't worried about their self-esteem. She was right. I mean, I was sitting in meetings where everybody was a newcomer, and I liked it. So feed that ego. Come on, you know. I mean, I'd been GSR. I'd been every trusted servant position on the group level, and it's my hat is off. If you're sitting here and you are a trusted servant of your home group, my hat is off to you if you can stay in principle, you know. I love the spirit of rotation. 2 years, spirit of rotation, you know. But being of service, 10% of the people do 90% of the work in AA. It's always been that way. And I love it. Love it going down to Macon, going to the zone meetings, being of service. But it didn't keep me sober. I've known some people that I thought they worked the program better than me. You know, service position here, GSR there, intergroup here. Just go out and drink. Being of service is great. It's like the icing on the cake. But the cake is AA. The cake is the steps. At 13 years of sobriety, my baby sister passed away, Chris, of this disease as a direct result. God rendered her sober, and she had about 19 months. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. She didn't have the capacity. Sometimes when we get sober, when God renders us sober, the stuff, you know, alcoholism is just a symptom. You know, she couldn't be sober. I never was mad at God for my sister's death. You know, people at my home group are like, "You're pissed at God." No, not really. I'm kind of grateful. Because I'd heard about all these alcoholic deaths. I mean, people falling over in the bathtub. One of my classmates, we had about the same amount of time, swam out in the ocean, never came back. I just thought that God was kind of with his grace and his dignity, you know. She got hit by an 18-wheeler. She was on foot. And there was nothing left. My sister, who's an Al-Anon, she used to be an Al-Anon. Her and I held hands at my sister's funeral. And I didn't think... I just thought in the back of my mind that God would render her sober again and that we'd be happy, joyous, and free. We'd be sisters and sisters in the fellowship. That was not to be. When my father called, I didn't know what to do. And I was 13 years sober. My next thought when we hung up the phone is, "Call your sponsor." So I called my second sponsor and she told me what to do. At that particular moment, I needed to know what to do. So I went up to Ella J. My parents lived up in Ella J. And she told me to be of service to them and to see if you can get a meeting up there. There was a meeting on Saturday night there, and I thought, "Oh, God. North Georgia Mountains, here I come. I'm asphalt and concrete here, okay? I'm streets of Atlanta. I'm going up to the mountains. Help me." you know? Boy, at 13 years of sobriety, I still had a closed mind. I forgot 12 steps, 12 traditions. It's the same all over the world. I forgot. I came into that meeting a few minutes before the meeting. This woman gave me a cup of coffee, and she put cream and sugar in it. I don't drink cream and sugar, but I drank it anyway. And she just patted me on the leg, baby, and I swear she said, "It's okay, baby, you just don't have to drink. We'll just kind of hang out, and we'll get you through this." And I lived at my folks' house for about a week or so. And the people in AA sent flowers, they sent trees, baskets of fruit. I mean, and my mother's like, "Who are all these people?" And I said, "It's people who knew my sister. People in the fellowship." They brought plates of food, by the way, thank you. Just wonderful. And these women that went to the Gilmore County group wouldn't leave me alone. They kept on calling, "How you doing? You need a cup of coffee? You know, I can swing by and pick you up." You know, fellowship's all over the place, and I like that. I like that about the fellowship. I got through that, but the obsession to drink returned. Because I'd never experienced that kind of loss. I mean, I've lost some of my classmates. Bill passed away with 15 years, when we had 15 years, and he had 2 days. He passed away from cancer. I told him he couldn't pass away, he couldn't die until he had 15 years of sobriety. It was one of those things. We came in together, about 90 days between us. And he passed away with 15 years and 2 days. And wonderful man. One of my lifetime goals was to be an old-timer in this program, and that's 20 years of sobriety. And I made it. I was 20 years sober. Something's different about the fellowship now. At my home group, I hear sponsors talking to little, is it sponsees now, about hurting their feelings. I'm so grateful that my current sponsor, Judy, doesn't worry about hurting my feelings. You know, and I can't imagine Justine ever saying, "Excuse me, if you wouldn't mind, could you please make the coffee?" You know, I just can't see that. And I'm grateful, because if they would have asked me, I would have said no. I would have sat in the back and said no. And would have never gotten in the middle of the bed of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm still jealous and envious of people who say AA gave me back my life. AA gave me a life. I didn't have one before now. I didn't have one. You know, I came here to save my ass, and I had no idea it was attached to my soul. I went back to college. Well, I went to college. Yep, wait a minute. I did take a couple classes. I think I was drinking through them. I'm not quite sure. I looked at my transcript. I don't remember going there, but it says I did, so okay. But went to college. Oh, my God. Yes, I know. College. And I graduated from Clayton State with a 4-year degree. Oh, God. With a 4-year degree. I went to DeKalb Tech before that. I was a teacher, an educator, for 8 years. I taught automotive. And that was a joy in itself. The teaching industry changed, and so we changed with it. I wouldn't want my life any other way. I have a big book underneath here. It brings me good luck. I got a rebound a couple years back. It's a third edition. I think on page 312, it's the end of Keys to the Kingdom. It's a great story, Keys to the Kingdom. It says, for a hangover, you know, been handed Keys to the Kingdom. It's a great page. I don't know what it is in the fourth edition, but it talks about how the last 15 years of my life have been rich and meaningful. Talks about the fellowship, you know, how we're truly related. When I tell you, before AA, I felt like a square peg being shoved in a round hole, you know what I'm talking about. Being in a room with my friends, and I felt outside. Coming into AA and, okay, now what? You know, I can't imagine not drinking for the rest of my life. I'm 22 years old. Oh, that's a long time. You know? What steps? You know, you want me to inventory what? And you want me to make it amends for who? You guys understand these questions because we are family. You know? You understand these things. Talking about the ninth step, I did a lot of damage. my sponsor and I had to be creative with this ninth step. In Gwinnett County, I really couldn't go around to like McDonald's and explain to them, I'm sorry for hitting your telephone pole twice. You know, couldn't really find the principal of the high school. From what I understand, I hit him. I don't know. Can't really make an amends for a lot of damage I did. Yeah, I have an embarrassment. Yeah. We all like to talk about how many cars we wrecked. I've totaled out 7. The embarrassing part is two of them came with the same telephone pole, same McDonald's, 6 months apart. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing, you know? And I still, it's not me, it's that wild turkey that I drank. So I stopped drinking wild turkey that night. Back then, they just drove you home. Or they went, are you okay? I split a car in half one time hitting the telephone pole, going a $125. That's 125 miles an hour. Drunk, woo. Not even the one eyes. That didn't even help. That telephone pole just jumped out in front of me. I had no idea. I was just driving. Okay, so I was racing somebody else. Just a little bit. I don't drive fast. I drive quick. There's a difference. And Lilburn police just kind of... I remember being pulled out of the car, and that's about it. Are you okay? Yeah. I don't know what happened. I have no idea. I never knew what happened, and it's always your fault. You know? But now... it's not my fault that I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety is my responsibility. If I do not do the things that I need to do, that I must do in order to stay sober, and if I'm miserable in AA, it's my fault. My home group is for the fun of it group. We meet at the Serenity House. I moved out towards Hall County, and it's a good group. We have an 11 o'clock meeting that's really, really good on Sunday mornings. Really, really good. Ah, the coffee's wonderful. I don't know who makes the coffee, and I mean, it's really, I mean, come on, coffee's coffee, but on a Sunday morning and getting hugs from everybody, you know, I usually show up about 30 minutes early. We all get in there earlier and earlier, and we all kind of fellowship beforehand and fellowship afterwards, you know. Somebody always brings the donuts, you know. Sunday morning, it's a good meeting. But I have no idea that my life was going to be this way. I had no idea. I just came here to save my butt. Okay? Just, you know, I'm just getting the heat off of it. You know? This is my life. I wouldn't want it any other way. I'm going for my master's degree soon. And I sit here, I was sitting back there thinking about this God that pulls chronic alcoholics back away from the gates of death. That's my God. Looking at all these chips, thinking about the journey. I am cleaner on the inside today than I am in on the outside. The view is simply breathtaking. I just wouldn't want it any other way. I know some people come in and out, in and out. I am responsible when anyone anywhere reaches out. I want the hand of AA to always be there. So I welcome people. You know, my home group's the best group in the whole wide world. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be my home group. Just like my sponsor's the best sponsor in the whole wide world. You know, if you don't think the same way about your sponsor, get a new one. If you don't have one, get one. I cannot do the we by myself. It didn't work. I tried it, trust me. It didn't work. And my home group, best group in the world. If you think that your home group's the best group in the world, then you have a great home group. If not, you need to change your home group. You know? The women here just love me until I could love myself. I am 49 years old. I wear bifocals and hearing aids. My sponsor and I were joking several months ago. I didn't know it was going to be this way. If I thought I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of my body. You know? I mean, I can remember when I first started getting sober. It's like, jump out of the bed. Hey, how you doing? Give me a cup of coffee. Now it's like, oh, I'm here. You know? I know where my car is. I actually have a car. And for a long time now, for several years, my driver's license and my checking account are mine. And my credit cards are really mine. They're not yours. And I don't write a check unless I have, like, money in the account. Isn't that nice? And it's like, I have student loans now. Help me. You know? They actually loaned me some money so I could go to school. Holy crap. This past year in Hall County, I was a juror. And I had to call my sponsor about it because we had a crack up laughing. And she's like, do they know who you are? I'm like, yeah, obviously they do. I don't know. But I sat in that jury box and I felt like a member of society, you know, absent of ego. And we were coming up with a decision. And I felt like a member of society. You know, that bridge back to society kind of thing, you know. I want everything that Alcoholics Anonymous has to offer. Something new about take what you want and leave the rest. Well, how do I know what I want? And how do I know which is good or not? I don't know. So I'm just going to take it all. And then there's this thing about, let's see if I get it right. My best day drunk is better than my worst day sober. Something like that. I don't understand that. Because before I was existing. Now I'm living. This is my life. I've grown up in Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you, God, I've grown up here. You know, my sponsor and I talk often. Yeah, 27 years of sobriety. I have a sponsor, and I call my sponsor. And I also work the steps with my sponsor. And I read the Daily Reflections, and I read the Big Book. I become a student of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Went to Maggie's Big Book study and learned about the Big Book. You know, I continue to go. You know, I don't think that we get a lot of time to become old-timers. It's like we're dipped white as snow. I think at like 25 years, I thought, okay, 25 years of sobriety, I'm not going to make any more mistakes. Thanks for playing anyway. I still make mistakes. I'm a human being. I've just been sober a long time. I sponsor a young woman, and she let me know this evening that she got married in AA. She's sober, and that she's pregnant. And she said that if anything should happen, would I be the godmother? And I'm like, wow, that's cool. And I sponsored her since the white chip. You know, that's really cool. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous in good standing. Nobody tells me, oh, would you please leave? You know? And for you newcomers, it was 4 years before I dropped a dollar in the basket. Alcoholics Anonymous is absolutely free. Says that in our literature. I thought for the longest time that I couldn't go to AA meetings because I couldn't drop in a dollar. You know, now it's two because of, you know, increase and stuff like that. So I made the coffee and cleaned and did my dollars. Worked, you know, set up the room, talked on the room, stuff like that. You know, I've become financially insecure again. I don't have the fear of it. I'm just financially insecure. You know, like we all are nowadays, you know. But it's okay. I can't drop in a dollar right now. You know, so I'll be cleaning the toilets or setting up or, you know, doing something, earning my $2 now, you know. But I hope that you guys, if you're ever out in Buford, exit 4 off of 985, come out to Serenity House. Come join me for a cup of coffee on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Pretty good coffee. Come for the coffee and the donuts, you know. Pretty good, pretty good. Thank you again. I hope I disclosed in a general way what I used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for sharing with us, Michelle.
Understood your words to go ahead. and forget my world. Oh, and I surrender, believing darkness could be a light. Oh, and I remember that all the dreams are made in the night. And I tell myself not to cry. I feel like a long lost child.